Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. While we don't take without giving back, we do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once men are mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold, didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. While we don't have time for fooling around, let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one? Or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome to Care to Read. You have your Omiyika in the house. I am your advocate, the one you want. I am also your advisor, the one you need. Thank you for joining us today on our long segment this month entitled Care to Read. We are a family and life consumer education resource center working with families, and under the auspices of Project 2019, we are striving to close the gap of illiteracy. We are also bringing into the homes soul, mind, body, and spirit a methodology, a roadmap of how we can direct our families. I want to ask this evening, so how is the African feeling this evening? Which is always asked of the African. And how are the children? Because we know if the children are not centered and they are not prospering, then our community is suffering. And as we go about this evening to talk about mind, body, soul, and spirit, we are going to feature and specifically discuss the topic of the new age, new thought religion. To give us a better background of that, we have brought a specialist in our audience. Reverend Peterson will be with us this evening to speak on unity, faith, religion. And we also have another guest in our community here, Tanya Vega. She's known as the South Side. She also reviews local scenes in the community of Chicago, and she's known around town as South Side. as she also works with local bands in the Chicagoland area. And we will be talking to these experts in a minute, and I'd like to say hello to them, and then I'll go straight to commercial, and we'll be right back in the air at you. Hello.
Hello.
Are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good, Tanya. I'm happy that you can join us, and I'm looking forward to the topic of discussion this evening. And let me say hello to our other guests. Hello?
Yes. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Reverend Peterson. It's good to hear your voice. Reverend Peterson and I go... Pardon
hello?
Me?
Yes, the pleasure yes. is all man.
Okay. As usual, Reverend Peterson and I go back to working together in some other avenues, and I've also gone to their church several times, great man in God, and we are going to hear from him shortly and get right on the topic of discussion. Reverend Peterson, our segment has been going on now for about 2 months. We started off with mind, body, soul, and spirit, which encompasses things from Reiki healing to touch therapy, to dream therapy and interpretation, all the way to understanding the various denominations and religions, if you would have you. And it also encompasses talking to people who are involved in these institutions so that we can know firsthand what they're about. There has been a deficit in our African community specifically in the area of serving them and having information. So this is a resource and referral show. We have a website that's attached to the show where they can go and ascertain materials on literacy. We specifically focus in on closing that gap of illiteracy. One of Project 2019's mission is to close the gap of African Americans matriculating through higher level of learning, such as obtaining associates, bachelor's, and master's degrees. So we first want to start and meet them at the point of their need, and that is in the area of illiteracy, which is a high percentage in our community. So we have been offering a series of reading opportunities and workshops for teachers. And each time we meet, we do feature a specific book, and we ask the family to engage themselves in reading for the benefit of making that child literate. And the book that we're going to feature for this evening is called The Teachings of Ptah Hotep, the oldest book in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and that is by Ashwa Hillary, Larry Williams, and Nia Manelli. This book has been edited by them. I've used it several times, and it is used in some worshiping service in Chicago called the Kemetic Institute. And I definitely want to recommend that to the families out there. So you can go and get a copy of that at local bookstores. I want to pause here for a moment to pay homage to the African community and let them know that literature can come in posters. It can come in auditory material. And I just want to recite the African flag pledge that is normally recited in the Kemetic Institute. I almost forgot about it and thought that I should stop to acknowledge that this is usually read whenever there is a ceremony or of some type of order of service. And the poem goes like this. Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green, hopes in the future bright Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it in the time to come. Red blood shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it. 400 years of back of it. The red, black, and green of it. Old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it. Face shot and shelled of it. Maidens shall sing of it. Having to hold it high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors brought and told of it. Pleased is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. And this comes out of Kemetic Institute of Chicago. Dr. Carruthers, he and I worked on a project while I was doing my thesis, and I worked very closely with him and went to the Comedic Institute and remember it so well. And that's when my first education began of knowing who I was and culturally reconnecting to my community. And it's important that we should acknowledge some of our traditions in our community. Now, I like to also tell you that Dr. Reverend Jenny Coleman was one of my mentors for over 20 years. I followed her while living in the near north suburbs, and I aspired to read the Daily Inspiration for Better Living on a regular basis, and I collected these. And people who knew me then would always make sure that I got a copy in my hand. Somehow I got a copy to read. And I'd like to just share with you on August 31st, 2006, on a Thursday, which they document in their little book that's called Daily Inspiration for Better Living. This was an area that I highlighted. I like to share that to the community and give them some insight to what type of material she was putting out there and how it helped me and my family. I am each day consciously aware that I live, move, and have my being. In the divine will of God, I give thanks for this truth. Each moment of each day was divinely ordained and designed with me in mind. I express my understanding of this divine consciousness through my every experience and interaction with my fellow man. And all is right in my world. This day has brought a deeper, more inspirational, grounded understanding of the activity of wisdom. As it reveals how God has worked in my life, I give thanks to his awareness. I have a deeper and richer relationship with God. I now understand that the words of God must live through me as it did through my elder brother, Jesus. I love to and express my inspirational relationship with the Father. I, too, must heal the sick, give sight to the blind, cleanse toxic conditions, heal the lame, and unstop deaf ears. All within my own consciousness, because it is the will of God, God operating through me. Make you perfect in every good work and do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing and has sight through Jesus Christ, and whom he be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This booklet was so valuable to me, and I have to give a question. Reverend Jenny Coleman was an inspiration for me going into the ministry. I had hoped that my teaching would be the same as theirs, but later on I found it wasn't. I was a little disappointed and went on to keep searching for the teaching of the new thought and ran into Reverend Peterson and thought that I had struck a gold mine because this man was so knowledgeable of new thought and had trained up under Reverend Jenny Coleman. Now, you know, I thought I was in second heaven, because I could rub shoulders with this man who had worked with Reverend Jenny Coleman. Let me just go into telling you a little bit about Reverend Peterson. He has been a Unity member for over 41 years. He trained under Reverend Jenny Coleman's Institute. He is an ordained minister. The church was initially called Christ Unity Temple, and it was changed to Christ Universal Temple. Reverend Jenny Coleman has been inspirational in working with ambassadors all over the world. And one thing they believe in is healing, and that is why they have incorporated a national healing summit that transpires every year in the Lee Summit city in Missouri. And that is an institution where they go and work on the process of healing. They are an institution that believe in healing, and that's what drew me to their organization. I had a healing and believed at one time that God had called me into the practice of healing. And Reverend Jenny Coleman was very inspirational in molding my life and many others that I'm sure would possibly testify to that. I'm going to bring Reverend Peterson on so he can tell his story firsthand. First, I'd like to go to station identification, and then we'll be right back at you in the air. And I'll promise you, I'll borrow your airways for 1 hour, and I'll give you your world back in approximately 60 minutes. And go for station identification so we can pay some bills. Thank you very much.
Oh,
Thank you so very much, listening audience. I want to give out that number, 646-478-0270. And I want to send a shout-out to Harambe, our neighboring radio station. Brother Delaney Amon, we say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Please tune in to Brother Harambe's show. They're a neighboring organization. Excellent work they're doing out there. We're going to go right into our show, ladies and gentlemen, and this evening is going to be a double treat for you because Tanya is going to come on right after Reverend Peterson, and we're going to talk about how music has been so inspirational in helping us in our therapeutic treatment and how new thoughts have fused into the music and the lyrics of helping young people to come up with a new category of brainwave entertainment music. It's a new category, people, and I'm sure when Tanya comes back on, she can go into details. But right about now, we're going to bring Reverend Peterson on and have Reverend Peterson tell you a little bit about himself, go into some detail, explain what the New Thought Movement is, and what is the doctoral teaching of the Unity Belief. Reverend Peterson, you have the air.
All right, thank you, and it's my pleasure to appear on this program, and as you have stated, I am Reverend Ernest Peterson. I am of age, and I will not give a number, but if you was to see me, you would not believe my age. However, I've been a member involved in the Unity Christianity for 42 years. I started out under the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman at the time in 1963, when she had formed the Christ Universal Temple. In 1975, they diverged themselves from the Unity Church of Practical Christianity and formed another group called the Universal Foundation, changed the name to Christ Universal Temple, and that's the name today. Now, I learned of New Thought under Reverend Coleman. The African-American community, I can say fully, knew nothing about New Thought Christianity until Reverend Coleman brought it to the south side of Chicago. And today at Christ Universal Temple, they have a membership of close to 15,000 members, and I would say that is a great thing, thanks be to God. Now, New Thought Christianity taught through the Unity Institute shows that the beliefs that we have, and I am only speaking of African-Americans today, whereas they have some ideal that there is a hell. And in Unity, we teach that God did not create a hell, and nowhere can they show that he did. So we don't believe in a hell. We teach that there is no such thing as a devil. God did not create a devil. And
amen.
We use the term enemy. The word is enemy, not devil. African-Americans are of the belief that Lucifer is the devil, but nowhere can they find that God created a devil. Again, I have to say that. So we believe that it is God's will that every individual on the face of this earth should live a healthy, happy, and prosperous life. And in order to do that, we believe that centered in God, we co-create a world that works for everyone. And again, talking about unity, our theme is basically unity's five spiritual principles. And I will tell you what those principles are. There is one presence and one power in the universe, God. Each person is an expression of the one presence and one power. The experience and events of our lives unfold in divine order and are shaped by our dominant thoughts and beliefs. Through prayer and meditation, we align our heart, mind with God. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. Should I go further?
Reverend Peterson, I have a question, if I can insert a question here for the listening audience. I have been of the notion that through learning, through New Thought, that the omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent, those attributes represent the essence of God, but does unity also concur with the fact that we press God forward and our ultimate goal is to become God or like God?
Well, we believe that we all are an expression of God, and being an expression of God or an image of God, we are there already. And everything that we are supposed to be about each and every day is God. So mm-hmm. I don't see the separation.
So in essence, it's okay for us to identify ourselves as God.
Absolutely. We don't have any other choice. And I can say that Scripture has it that there is no darkness greater than ignorance, and that is why Unity is a teaching ministry. Christ Universal Temple is a preaching, a teaching ministry, and that's what it's all about.
I love that, Reverend Peterson. I love that because when I know that I'm cooperating with God on the inside of me and that I am God, with God helping me, the little g God, so to speak, I think that I'm not in error, but a lot of people will say that's blaspheming. They have a problem with that, but it gives me the motivation to know that whatever decisions I make must come up out of me, and I must pay homage to the God that lives inside of me, and nothing outside of myself is going to act any better for myself and help me other than me helping myself.
And that is correct, and we teach that we relish the simple joys of God's world, so it all comes into being. We also are experiencing the heavens here and now, and I can go on, but I, you know, will allow you to speak to that.
Well, I believe everything you're saying, and when I heard the message of Reverend Johnny Coleman, it just reservoired with me everything that I was looking for. And I was living in Wisconsin then, and I wanted to convert. And I searched high and low until I got to Milwaukee, and I discovered that they had a location there, but I was living an hour away. But nevertheless, I got as much materials and traveled to Chicago just to be in the midst of her teaching. And when she had her television show, I would constantly tune in. And I was so endowed with new knowledge that I was afraid to tell someone because they thought I had lost my mind when I told them that there wasn't a devil.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The same as today. If they want to believe in the devil, I try to advise them that there is no such, that's a man-made term. And if you believe in a devil, go look in a mirror and you will learn whom the devil really is.
And you know what really grabbed me, Reverend Peterson, I was just outdone when I discovered the research that is being done on the 13 crucified saviors. I just, my lip dropped and I couldn't believe it. each one of these crucified saviors identically mimic the characteristics, the date of birth, the December 25th, and Midriff, who is one of the 13 crucified saviors, just as Horus is one. They were all born on the same day,
yes.
Was born of a virgin, and
yes.
The story was all unfolding where they were a prodigy at 12 years old,
yes.
And at 30, you know, they were, baptized and went yes. on. Each one of these saviors could very well represent our elder brother Jesus, which tells me that there's many paths to get to God.
Yes. And you know what else I find is that people, when you use that term, our elder brother and wayshore, they have no idea of whom it is that we're referring to. So it's, you know, a joy to hear you say our elder brother, Jesus.
Oh, I've been taught well by Reverend Jody Coleman. And I know and put him in his proper perspective because I must acknowledge that Jesus is not God
that
and that
right.
God is God and Jesus yes. was our elder brother.
Yes, yes. And again, people will refer to Jesus as being God. And when you try to get them to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, just as we are the children of God, and when Jesus refers to my Father and I are the same, we are as one, that is so true. And what we teach is if you have an open mind, you can understand and comprehend what New Thought Christianity is all about.
And Reverend Peterson, the other exceptional thing is that people must remember the era and dynasty of time that Jesus came on the scene. And during the Nicene Council, they saw that so many people wanted to worship Jesus. And then Constantine stepped in the picture and overshadowed Christianity and basically gave a different form of teaching. And the world did not know that they had been mesmerized with a Roman institution. And the sad thing about it, as you go on and look at history, when you are trying to understand who were who was the sun, who were they referring to, and because they were using the constellation of the stars, and when they lined up the three stars to make the Sirius star B, that those three wise men represented those three stars. Then they go over to the constellation and they show where the Virgin Mary is also an astrological sign that represents the M. And
yeah.
if you notice, all of the crucified Savior's mother's names begin
with
the
M.
letter M.
Yes, absolutely.
And all of this was unfolding for me, and I was getting sicker and sicker saying, so now the truth is out. And now people
yes.
are seeing that this is all in the constellation of the stars.
Yes, yes. And then again, in Unity, again, we are a teaching ministry, and it was founded by people, I don't want to say how many years ago, but in my opinion, it's the greatest thing that could come before us today. And I have another belief, and that is we as African Americans, our foreparents going way back in the days of slavery, if it was against the law to teach Africans how to read and write, then where did they get the quote-unquote denomination or religions that's being taught to them today? Where did it come from? It came from the slave masters, and I have been in European churches and Baptist, Pentecostal, and they're still teaching the same as what's being taught in the black church today. And
right.
It's a new day, and this is New Thought time, and the New Thought movement is definitely growing.
Oh, yes, it definitely is growing. With Michael Beckwith, his following is so great.
Large, yeah.
And it's phenomenal that you can tell the people who are part of New Faith, their talk, their conversation, it always exemplifies a positiveness and ability to be in control by virtue of believing that because you've been given dominion, you can speak truth over a situation and rest assured that your words are powerful to accomplish that which is intended. And this is what God even said. He would watch over his words to perfect them. And that we could send the word, and the word would be powerful, but yet we remain powerless. And when we say we're in these Christian churches, we're without power because we don't clearly understand that we're God and can act on these situations to make things happen.
Yes, and, you know, it's amazing how one does not understand that God gave us dominion, mastery, and authority over every creeping thing. But within the African-American community, they must believe that there's two types of life on earth, and that is animal and plant. We are animal. And if God gave us mastery, dominion, and authority over all the other animals, why is it that we have some that's acting worse than animals?
And I had the question, another question from Peterson. Why is it that we have no respect for the universe and don't feel like we share a kinship with the universe and are heavily connected? Because at one time, the universe was a deity that was connected to man and had greater ability to commune with us. And we had the ability to commune with animals and to be able to fellowship like we were brothers and sisters. Now we have no regard for the universe, for the oceans, for the rivers. We don't feel connected to any part of our nature.
No, and I believe that it stems from, as I had stated earlier, Scripture has it that there is no darkness greater than ignorance. And that's not taught within the Christian churches. The ones that I visit, the ones that I have visited in the past, they don't teach that. So, you know, again, you have heard me say that I am not a preacher. Do not call me a preacher, and someone says, well, why not? And I make it clear that preachers talk loud, they draw crowds, but no one knows what they're talking about but them. So that's why I am a teaching minister, not a preaching minister, period.
I hear what you say, Reverend Peterson.
So if they're not
and I know
taught,
you have been. Go ahead.
If they're not being educated to the facts of what the universe is, how can they not know, how can they not live it?
Reverend Peterson, tell me, what is the fear of African communities and Christian theologians? What is the fear they have of the term metaphysics? Why are they so fearful of it when Jesus and Moses, they had to spend several years under metaphysics, at least Moses, spent 40 years in the university learning the 40 degrees of knowledge. And if they went to Africa at all, they had to learn metaphysics in order to learn how to perform the miracles. So why are African Americans spooked out about the word metaphysics? They think they think it's juju. They think it's witchcraft when you say metaphysics.
Well, again, it comes back to ignorance. And the more educated people are, the better they understand and comprehend the meaning of metaphysics and what it's all about. And if they're not being taught that in their churches, where do we go from there?
Well, you know, Reverend Peterson, I think, this is just my opinion because I study religion. I have taken a sabbatical from my church. I came to the conclusion that I was searching for truth and not denomination or religion. And wherever I might find truth, I would embrace it. And I said the only thing I need right now is to identify my African self and to know myself. And that would mean that I need to take a study up in learning my customs and tradition. And I pulled up one of the principles of African-American spirituality, and I'd like to share that with you. It comes from the Temple of the Kemetic teaching. And the Temple of the African Community of Chicago, that's at the Kemetic Institute, and this is what they state. They said the recognition of the one created spirit of the universe and the recognition of the infinite manifestation of spirit which inhabits all the existence, the recognition of the spiritual, of the spirituality of all African people, the recognition of the essential harmony among spirit, cosmos, nature, our African people, the restoration of African spirituality among African people, the re-estimate of Kemetic Egyptian literary and calendar for spiritual celebration, the use of ancient Kemetic texts as a major spiritual wisdom, the conducting of the celebration for all incorporation of the children into the African community, the initiation of young youth into the manhood and womanhood, the union of the families for the purpose of creating new families, the investment of nature, men and women, into mature entities and position of responsibility, of advancement in elders to state of the venture of passage, the rites of passage, and the deceased to the state of life everlasting. Now, these are just some of the statements that the Africans believe, which so much mimic the New Thought. They almost are like one and the same. And what I had found was when people say we believe in monotheistic, where there is one God, and then that Africans believe in polytheistic, where there's many gods, I think they got that confused.
Yes.
The Africans believe that there are expressions and essence of God that have many faces, but there's only one God.
Right.
And I think they get that so confused, Reverend Peterson, that they go on calling it a pagan religion, and they desecrate it, and they dispel it. But yet, I'm finding theologians, professionals, professors going back, getting this African religion and reexamining it, finding out that there is definitely value in the religion, and there's religion that could be placed in the communities to heal our wounds that we have experienced from the middle passage of slavery. And that is why we're so lost, because we're disconnected. Would you not agree?
Yes, I do agree. And again, as stated, we all are images of God, created within the image likeness. So I have to agree with the statements that you made. And that's, you know, so it is.
Well, I'm going to stop here for a second, and I want to bring Tanya on to get her involved in a conversation. We were talking, Tanya and I, about this new spirit that's going on in some of the cafes and in some of the rituals that go on. And I told her that I'm a musician and I play drums and I'm a singer. I'm a jazz singer and I sing gospel, and I've written some songs that we're working on. And some of the poetry that you hear, some of my work, and that's my gospel choir that we had in Germany. So I'm really a right-brain learner and into music. So we were talking about this newfound spirit in these cafes where people are dancing to the point of working out their problems in dance. And I talked about the Brazilians have a dance that they do, and these sessions are called bembes. And when they go into the spirit, they begin to dance, and they are working to become possessed by a spirit that will actually talk through them and that will actually give them a word of knowledge for the community. So we were talking about this new category of music and what is happening to the young groups and how are they finding it. Now they are patenting these tracks where you can buy this subliminal music and you put behind the drumming music or what have you, and they use these tracks to put people in a trance, to work issues out in their life, and some are used for therapeutic help. And I invited Tanya on to talk about that, and she is the Southside expert on music and talking to bands, and I know if anybody would have heard about it, I know it's her. So
yeah.
Tanya, I'd like for you to come on and talk a little bit more about yourself, and let's get right into the conversation.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. My real name is Tanya, and I'm known around town as Southside. I review a lot of local music around town, so from one end of Chicago to the far reaches of Chicago, I'm practically there 4 to 5 nights a week, reviewing local music near and far. We were talking about last night about this wave of world fusion is basically what you could call it, because there's really no set genre for this, because they're pulling music from jazz and modern dance and new age and inspirational, and they're just meshing. They mesh it together, and people are just, I guess they're, better for word to say, overwhelmed by it, because there's really nothing you can do, but once you feel it, you start dancing. That's the short version of what I've seen lately in the music scene here in Chicago.
Now, Tanya, are you familiar at all with invoking up the spirit? And when African Americans go to church, the first thing they say is, "Child, didn't that preacher preach? Didn't she get happy today? Did you see how
excited
she was?"
Yes, I've seen that in African American churches when I was growing up and in my adulthood. Yes, I've seen people get moved by the spirit. They get happy. They get sad. They start screaming, shouting,
was this
jumping.
Demonstration any different than what you saw in the clubs?
This is kind of different. People don't, what the main difference is, people don't start shouting. It's more a subtle movement going. As soon as the movement starts flowing and the note starts hitting you and the chord starts hitting you, people start dancing. They start, getting happy. They put their drinks down. So it's a different kind of experience that they're going to a filled with the Holy Ghost spirit type church. But in the club, people are more dancing. They're more happy. They get other people excited. They get other people happy, clapping and dancing.
Now, Tanya, let me say this, because I do a lot of dancing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That same momentum that I gain on stage and perform, I get the same momentum in church. There's only but one spirit. There's not an evil spirit and a good spirit. There's one spirit. And
right.
The whole thing I'm trying to do is rise at a level where I'm transparent. I'm levitating. I'm off the ground. I'm communing with God, because I've gone so high. And you're trying to get higher and higher, and you're trying to allow God to take over. That's what you're trying to do,
right.
Invoke the God to take over. And you're no longer there. You're out of body. You're having an out-of-body experience is what you're having. And in the church is no different, because when I do the holiness dance, I got an out-of-body experience. Watch out. I'm all over the place. And at the same time, they say, don't bother her, because the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. He will protect her, and the Holy Ghost is not going to let her fall. Now, if they know so much about the Holy Ghost, they need to know where the Holy Ghost came from and where this systemically was derived from. It came directly out of Africa. And when we see those tribal dances and we see that person invoking the spirit and talking in another tone or speaking about a situation, they've now allowed a spirit to take over their body, and it happens in the church, because that's the same thing they're trying to do, invoke that spirit. So when you're done jumping around, whatever that problem was at home, you figured out a solution for it. And that's how you work out your salvation. Do you not agree, Reverend Peterson?
Yes, I do agree, and I would like to say that, again, we need to separate the term of ghost and spirit. It's spirit, not ghost. If we read about ghost, we do not put God in that category by any
circumstances,
okay? So we need to get away from that term ghost. It's the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Ghost.
And Reverend Peace, I'm glad you corrected that, because I often looked at the Trinity and say, it's kind of funny that Jesus' name in the Trinity is mentioned, and God, and then you give this other entity the name of a ghost, for lack of better words, and give it a description. And my teaching, I often thought that the Trinity has to be made up of the family, and somewhere along the line, it has to be Mother, Father, and Spirit.
Absolutely.
Mother and Father. And in reality, they say that that is Horus, Isis, and Heru. And that was Sabaro stories off the walls of Egypt, Egyptian walls. And there's so much that's been stolen off the walls, and now they're trying to cover it up. And the whole bit is there is no ghost because you didn't want to put the thing out there, so you substituted a ghost.
No, but again,
that's what I thought.
Right, and as I stated, Webster, you know, defines ghost and it defines spirit. And no way should you associate God as being a ghost.
That's right. That's right, because that's a scary thing for African Americans,
and
we've been so spooked out of our
minds. Right. Anybody else with good sound common sense? I don't care where you go. You look at little children, and when you use that term ghost, it's something scary. But when you say spirit, now they don't know what you're talking about, and you can explain it to them, and they understand because they know about the Christ, because the Christ is within each and every one of us. Whether we act it and show it or not, it's there.
I'm glad you said act it. Because Christ is a crystalline behavior. It is an example for us, and he came to be the way maker. He was not the exclusive example, but he was one of the examples.
Absolutely.
People want to say there is no other way to get to him. I said, no, you're wrong, because before Christ ever came here, the world had been in existence. So you mean to tell me these people had no way to God until Jesus showed up on the scene?
Yes.
And if that is the case, then the rest of the world were going to hell in a basket because they had no Jesus to recommend them to go through his name.
Right.
So if we could ever get off this thing about Jesus being the only one, then we can respect other religions. We can acknowledge that the truth in all denominations, and we all have a bit of the truth, and we're traveling down different paths, but our whole mission is to ultimately become gods.
Yes, and, you know, again, I'd like to say that Unity Church acknowledges all religions, regardless, you know, to what their teachings are. We do recognize them, and we just want the truth to be out there. And, again, as I stated, the more educated people are, the better they understand the New Thought movement, and that's why it is growing today.
Reverend Peterson, what would you say about the New Thought conversation, the music? Because I can identify the people that really have it down pat. Their talk is so different. And even when Antonia talked about the New Thought music, it's a different wave. It's almost like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes.
House of Fire creates your desire, and higher and higher. That was a New Thought thing. I don't care what nobody say. They were preaching New Thought. Wouldn't you say that, Reverend Peterson?
No, I would say they're teaching New Thought, not preaching. I hope that they're not preaching.
Yeah, I mean, in their songs. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of stuff that has depth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I would still say teaching because those whom have not heard it, they are learning something different today. So it's more teaching than preaching. And again, if we can accept and believe that this is a day that God made for us and we are to rejoice and be glad in it, and if we can accept that, then we know that it's God channeling through us, and there's nothing else there to believe.
Reverend Peterson, you know what? We have become the greatest marketers in the world. We have marketed religion so tough and defended it to where we don't even know how to find truth anymore. We would rather believe a lie and get caught up in a lie than to continue to search for truth. And I had to get away from that type of religion because it was banning me from exploring new thoughts and new concepts. And I didn't want to be stuck on frozen viewpoints. Do you know what I'm saying, Tanya?
Oh,
it's stuck on
yeah,
frozen viewpoints.
I believe Tanya understands. And I have not met her, but I do believe that she understands based on how she started out talking about the movement. You know, they're not jumping up and down, kicking over chairs, shouting, and what have you. But there's a way, and I can say this for everyone listening, in Unity, we teach that you have no control over your reactions when the Spirit moves through you. But
I completely understand with that, because when I see people start dancing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when I see people, you know, dancing and they start feeling it and they're getting happy, there's smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
It's like they come in with frowns, but they're leaving the club smiling, getting all happy and giggly than they were 40 minutes ago. Then I know something happened.
Yes,
that they really enjoyed the show.
Something happened, Tanya. It really did. Have you heard of serotonin? There's a release of serotonin.
Yeah.
They found that when you transpire a positive act, if you're in the process of giving someone something and the person that receives it, their serotonin level goes up, and the giver also has a spurt in the serotonin level of that. It's sort of like a happiness serotonin level that goes up to help the students pass on information to the other side of the brain. So there is a transformation of energy that changes. And if we understand that we are basically mechanical tools and we have frequency and vibration, when a person is sick, they're vibrating at such a low level that they can't do anything but draw from those that have energy. So if you put that person in the middle of a circle who is down in their spirit and everyone has high energy, you can move their frequency levels up. And that's all we are, is mechanical, and our frequency level is still moving. Even when we 6 feet in the grave, energy cannot die. Energy could only be dissipated in different places, but you can't kill energy. You can't kill a frequency, and that's all music is a frequency wave. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if we are energy and we are get among, and that's why African people used to huddle together to give each other their frequency and to use it for healing components, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. How can this music begin to heal our young people of their heartbrokenness, of this dissatisfied of the economy? How can this music turn things around, and what are some of these musicians doing to compensate for the economy's shortcomings and collapsing into nothingness? How can they do that, Tanya?
I see musicians banding together. It's not just I, and only I these days. It's we. How can we come together? How can we, you know, tour together? How can we promote shows together? How can we, you know, it's like a circle of friends. Everybody's coming together these days because the music community, believe it or not, has been hit by the economy. I just don't think it's just hitting the retail, the manufacturing. It has trickled down to the entertainment side of the economy, too, because a lot of big names have seen their ticket sales drop because people can't afford them anymore.
Yeah.
They can't afford the higher prices and the higher fees, and they're resorting now to the lower, less-known clubs with the lower, you know, ticket sale prices, and they're staying home more often. So people are, like, banding together. Most bands I've known, and especially around Chicago, they promote shows together. They do shows together, or they tour together. And there's one show that I'm promoting for happening at the House of Blues on August 28th. It's a group of bands performing together on the same stage, as well as they're bringing in artists and bringing photographers, independent filmmakers, to make this one big, gigantic show. So, yes, the economy has really, like I said, has hit the music industry hard, but they're turning it around by, you know, lowering ticket prices, and, big names are pairing themselves up with other big names and, you know, keep the cost down low so everybody can at least afford a ticket if possible and still come out to the show.
I have a question, Tanya. What about them diversifying and crossing over out of jazz maybe into spiritual, or maybe coming out of Christian music into rock or jazz? Are you seeing quite a bit of that done, and is it
okay? Yes, I have. I have seen a lot of people doing cross mixes with jazz and rap and hip-hop. They're doing a lot of rock and hip-hop, a lot of, you know, they're even taking old-school funk, R&B, soul sounds and flipping it into something different and more instrumental and fusion-like. They're borrowing, like, old masters, well, I call them old masters, like James Brown. Earth, Wind, and Fire is really, you know, that music sound from the 70s, big horns, a lot of funk, a lot of soul, is coming back in a new millennium age. And a lot of people are
getting... And I think that's good. Don't you think that's good that they're going that direction in the 80s?
Yes, they are. They're going back to that. They're reverting back to what happened in the 60s. They're borrowing that folk music era that they're borrowing from a lot of different genres. I've met bands who borrow from Jimi Hendrix because they feel like he was teaching a message that's not been heard yet here in the new age, and they're bringing it to the young people, and they want them to find here. They want them to know that, you know, this is what happening back then, and it's still relevant today. And people are accepting it, young and old.
Yes.
It gives, you know, the older generation something to remember, and younger people are like, wow, this is new and exciting.
Yes, and Tanya, another thing that I have noticed that's taken place within Chicago is our youth. With all of the instruments that they're playing, they all are coming together now, forming shows, et cetera.
Yes.
You are aware of that.
Yes, I am. There's a lot of young, rising musicians in all dynamics and all crosses, all races, you know, whatever. They're coming together. They're forming not just, you know, it's an all-white band or all-black band. It's a multiracial band
these days.
Tanya, I have a question. Do you think it has anything to do with the frequencies and the energy that's out there that is bringing this situation to bear? Because whether or not we know it or not, we are guided by a frequency, and the people that are called to become the gods are lining up again, and they're bringing people into certain geographical areas. So I think it has a lot to do with the geographical. I think the energy waves are bringing this to bear. I think that it's no coincidence, it is synchronicity, and these things are happening because the energy is there.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Most people think, you know, they're just friends. You know, most of these people are just strangers, and they just happen to be at the right club at the right moment, and they get on stage, and they just jam together, and they have the synchronicity going, and and that's how they form a band these days.
Right.
It's just the right, certain right people. I don't know how to phrase it right now, but it's a certain, you know, right, you know, kinetic energy going, and it's flowing. And these people, you know, do jam sessions together, and next thing you know, let's form a band.
Now, you said a word that makes a lot of sense, kinetic energy, the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
In my time, brothers and sisters would say, they would say, I can dig it, you can dig it, the cosmos, man, the cosmos. And we talk like that with the hip talk, and it was a code word, but we knew what we were talking about. We were all trying to come into consciousness. And this has been the era of people confusing others about what they're saying. And those of us who are from the baby boom, we were always saying, man, I can dig it. We're trying to understand something. So I'm glad they're going back to the 80s so we can better understand. And now that we have this understanding, audience, listen, we're coming up on the 7:30 hour here, but I want to thank our guests and the audience. Reverend Peterson, thank you so very much, my great friend in the spirit and Christ and my helpmate in the work field. He has been so supportive of everything I've done. May God bless you and make his countenance shine upon you this evening. And Tanya, may God add to your good success and may you continue
to
search for truth and new thought. You can always come back to the station. Both of you are welcome. I thank you for what you brought out to the atmosphere today. The frequency waves are probably vibrating all over the place now. We're going to get some people coming in here singing the 80s song. You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire has been on my mind. I'm ready to pull it back and go and do our thing. But I do believe somewhere along the line, we all going to end up in Canaan land together. And I'm going to ask y'all to go to Canaan land with me. We're going to be ready to go to Canaan land. Thank you so much, Brother Peterson. Thank you, Tanya. We're on our way to Canaan land. Keep those frequency levels rising, people. Keep those frequency levels rising, because we're bringing back the new wave of new thought. And we're also bringing back earth, wind, and fire. Keep yourself together, because, see, we're going into a new dispensation. And if you're not ready, and if you don't want to go, don't you hinder us, because we're on our way today.
Amen.
We'd like to thank our listening audience. We'd like to invite you back tomorrow. We'll be here right here on this station, Block Talk Radio, 6:30. Keep your station right there. Don't move it. Keep it right there. And stay tuned for us tomorrow, right here on Care to Read. You can reach us at 646-478-0270 tomorrow at 6:30. I'm on my way to Canaan land. If you don't go, don't you hinder me, because I'm on my way to Canaan land. New thoughts. Celebrating on this continent. We're bringing continents together. We're bringing this forest together. Because we're going to make this thing work, and we have to band together. The new wave out there, new wave of frequency. We want to thank Reverend Peterson for all the information he gave us about unity, church, and their belief system. And also Tanya about her expertise and understanding how the new wave of fusion music is coming back. It's coming back, people. Pull it together, get it together, because I'm on my way. Same spot, same time tomorrow, this time, 6:30 to 7:30. Then tomorrow we're going to have our speaker on. We'll be talking to someone in reference to understanding the AIDS virus, the cure, the educational materials that you can ascertain. We'll be interviewing someone from the AIDS Society. And then we're going to go into talking to someone. This Thursday we'll talk with someone on visualization, Reiki healing, and understanding how all this works together for our healing. And on Friday, stay tuned. That's when we'll have our AIDS specialist speaking. This has been a fantastic week, and we invite you back tomorrow. We're on our way to Canaan land. Our phones are ringing in audience, ladies and gentlemen, but our show is over with. We're on our way to Canaan land. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. You're always welcome here. You got your own Inkling 7, your advisor, the one you need, and then you also have your advocate, the one you want. You can check me out on Twitter. Follow me, follow me. You can also check me out on my Facebook. Please go out and listen to the session. This was a good session indeed, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Once again, follow me on Twitter. I'm on my way to Canaan. I want to say a shout out to Maddie Harvey. God bless. And always remember, seek truth and peace over your situation, Maddie Harvey. I decree a thing, and once I decree a thing, it is so, and the continent will be established unto you. I decree over you yesterday, and I continue to decree that you are well-being. Maddie Harvey, my sister, one of our elder sisters in the community who I love so dearly. I'm on my way. If you don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And as always, you have your Omi Inca 7 year, your advisor, the one you need, your advocate, the one you want. And I say to Delani, amen. Thank you for encouraging me to go on and run to see what the end is going to be. I encourage you in Harambe Radio Station. May you be blessed, and may your continents be blessed. God bless. Odabo. I'm on my way, ladies and gentlemen. Don't You Hinder Me, Because I'm On My Way. That was Reverend Peterson and Tanya Vega. They were our guests this evening. They did a fantastic job. And Tanya will be back on Monday to continue that discussion on the new spirit music and the new category for entertainment music that are being laid with tracks and are instrumental in healing modalities. And young people are getting into these music tracks with their games. And I want you to understand more about them. Remember, this is the show that elevates and closes the gap of disparity, of illiteracy. And we featured our book today, our special book. Please make sure you go out and get that book, The Teaching of Ptah Hotep, the oldest book in the world. Get that book and read it to your children. You will find that it is magnificent, and it will give you good guidance. Once again, please join us tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you. Same time, same spot, 6:30. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Don't move that station. 646-478-0270. See you tomorrow on Dabble. God bless.